all of our difficulties in life come from one place. And all of us suffer from this. Some of us don't understand the depths of it as much as others, but we all suffer from the belief that we're a body and a mind. And when it finally dawns on you that that's not what you are, that you're an eternal, incorporeal light being, nothing that anyone does to you, or nothing that anyone says to you, will offend you. And I'm mostly talking about personal things, you know, like, you know, you don't look so good today, or whatever it is, you know. But if you're settled in who you really are, you know that one, like we talked about last night, we spend our whole life with some level of degree of the fear of death, because our definition of life ends in death. And it's normally celebrated in this country. Death is normally celebrated. The thing is that after death, there's liberation. Not when your body quits breathing. What is this death? The death that you're a body and a mind. Coming to the conclusion that you're not a body and a mind. All of our suffering, all of our fear, all of our anxiousness comes from somewhere centered around that belief. And out of it, all the religions have been formed. I mean, even in Jesus' teaching, I've had so many people, a lot of the elderly have come to me and says, well, am I going to have a body after I pass away? And I said, well, what difference does it make? If you're not a body, do you need a body? And I remember reading Billy Finger's book about the fact that he said he couldn't feel his body anymore. Now, he was in some form that was recognizable to his sister. But he said all the concern about all those things disappeared, which was wonderful. And what's wonderful about it is I've seen this revelation and truth come to me, and then usually with it between when we've had our meeting and last, somewhere I read the stuff, which to me has nothing to do with bragging or understanding anything. It just is confirmation that I'm not nuts.
Right.
That this stuff's really true. And what we said yesterday can be very, very offensive to someone who's very attached to this world and their body and their mind. And what was that? Having the illusion of compassion for a world that's dying, for a world that's temporal. And the reason that's so important is because it doesn't help someone in the long term. And as I said, it doesn't mean we don't care and we don't nurture each other. I love to take care of this woman. And I think she loves it when she doesn't have to ask me. You know, and there's something inside me that knows it helps me get my attention off my own mind and body so that I'm not sitting around, you know, mumbling and whining and complaining and stuff. Because, I mean, if you just sit around on your ass waiting for something to happen, it's pretty depressing normally. Yeah. So there's nothing wrong with being busy. You know, it helps keep your mind occupied on something other than feeling sorry for yourself. And I like what Robert Adams wrote. I like a lot of what Robert Adams writes. And I've had quite a few people contact me and say that they've really appreciated a lot of what he shares. And you can see it's progressive. Some of his older teachings, there's a lot of maturity there that I see. And I sort of go for that, you know, that's where you're going to find out where he ended up with his revelation about life. And he says, somebody had posted this image on Facebook. It says, always remember deep in your heart that all is well and everything is unfolding as it should. There are no mistakes anywhere at any time. What appears to be wrong is simply your own false imagination, that's all. So we're going to talk a lot about that today so that it will help you deal with everyday life when we're alone, or when we're suffering, or when difficulties come with health. Or I know my mom, you know, she's 83.
Yeah,
she'd be 85, I think. 84. My mom's 84. And I remember we were gathering for Thanksgiving. And my mom's not a real positive person. So she stood over in the corner sort of smiling and saying, well, I guess we're sort of thankful, but I mean, all my friends are dropping like flies. You know? I mean, one after another, and that she was sort of depressed about it all. Says, well, let's try to conjure up some thankfulness here if we can. You know, and so she called on me to say a prayer, and I don't even believe in prayer, but I didn't tell her that. I just gave up some thanksgiving for food and people, and I didn't mention God. I did say in Jesus' name, amen, just to satisfy the mob. So that I didn't get tarred and feathered. But I did it for them. But there's nothing wrong with being thankful. And Rhonda posted on Facebook, and I'm hoping I don't quote her wrong, but she said, I felt all alone when I lost God because I had no one to talk to anymore. But she said the voice didn't disappear. Just the name that I called the voice. Yeah. Mm. And I thought that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So, the love within inside you, that's what you talk with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you're talking to the very nature of your own being. And it's I have conversations with my love all the time. But I'm not begging and cajoling and trying to convince it to change things. And I know the difference between when it's speaking and when my mind's speaking. And as we start to master that, we can get some relief. But anyway, so this weekend is about what is reality. And today we're going to talk about the nature of that reality. And I really think it's important for us individually to just look at ourselves, not in a way that's condemning, because when you really understand you're not a body and a mind, there's nothing left to condemn. It's about how can we be set free from our own mind. And reality is the way that it is, not something. Reality is just the way that it is, exactly as it is in every moment. Reality is where you find yourself, right in this moment. That's reality. Now, there's something about this that is really key, and I've discovered this, and that reality is always kind.
It's always kind.
Always kind. reality is always kind. So when you find yourself in a situation where you're sad or depressed or struggling with health concerns or whatever it is, something within your thinking isn't being kind. That's not reality. And it's like I said yesterday, we go through this whole life with some degree of a fear of death, and we call that life. We call our definition of life something that ends. And that's not life, that's death. That's a death realm. There's nothing in life even remotely close to that. Because life, by its own definition, is beyond eternal. It had no beginning. And all our definitions, all of our definitions of eternal is we have a life and then you screw on something that doesn't end onto the end of that. We've really grown up in that in Christianity.
Yeah.
If you say these words or do these things, you'll inherit eternal life. Well, how can you inherit something that never had a beginning? It's not possible. It either is or it isn't. And I say this, you know, exposing my own mind, but it, I think it shocks all of us, some of the things we've entertained as being true.
Yeah.
And that now we find disgusting. And not so much in a negative way, it's just appalling to think that there's some being sitting somewhere with this huge computer that's keeping an eye on you and might punish some people that don't meet his approval.
Ridiculous.
I like the way you say that. Ridiculous. That's the Tennessee version of ridiculous. Okay. It's insanity is what it is.
Yeah.
It is.
And so I'm going to trash the mind today. Is that okay?
Yeah.
But if you realize you're not your mind, it won't offend you. But I'm going to take the mind of the mat today. We're going to spend a lot of time on that. So reality is always kind. Really? Wow. Well, that's what we're saying, really? Reality's always kind? But you just got done saying it's the way it is. Well, Mike, the way it is now, it doesn't feel very kind. But the issue is, it's our story about reality that twists our vision and obscures it. So our story about reality twists our vision and obscures what's true, and this is what leads us to believe that there is injustice in our lives and in the world. Now we love to believe, hearing these things, like what Robert said, there's no mistakes anywhere. We love that for ourselves, but we can't extend that courtesy to others. That in their own personal life, they have to come to the realization that there are no mistakes either. And we don't seem to want to extend that favor to others. But we love being delivered from our history. I know when I first realized this, I could not believe what a weight came off of me.
Yeah.
Knowing that I didn't screw up anything. I wasn't at fault. Because, I mean, my laundry list, if I began to tell you everything I went through in my life as a 62-year-old man, you'd be sleeping. I'd put you to sleep. Because it was the same thing over and over again. And that's the cycle of living by the mind, as we just repeat the same things over and over again. And I've been struggling a little bit with smoking cigars. I go to see my doctor, he says, you're as healthy as an ox. You know, he's a natural cardiologist in Toledo. And he says, geez, he says, what are you, 62? He says, you've got at least 30 years from what I'm seeing. Well, I don't know if I want to be here 30 years, to be honest with you. Now, why would I say that? Because I've got things going on that I don't care for. That's why. So, I mean, it's damned if you do and damned if you don't, really, when you're operating from the mind. But he said, from a cardiovascular standpoint, I mean, I've been doing these treatments called EDTA treatments, and I don't have any plaque in any of my arteries anywhere. I have no plaque buildup. Zero. It's unheard of. Amazing. Because of these treatments I've done. Well, when my dad fell over at 66, it scared me. Because he had a massive heart attack, and he had several arteries that were blocked. And I thought, wow, this is what I got to look forward to. So I guess I don't want to live to be 96, but I'd rather make it past 66. So I got 4 more years till the day, you know. 66. I'm going to look around and see if I can make it. But he fell over my sister's yard, and they said he didn't feel the ground when he hit it. It was so massive. And he didn't like the doctor. He never went to the doctor to speak of. So he had all this stuff going on and never went in. So the problem is always our story about reality. Real reality is always kind. So what does that say to you? If it doesn't feel kind, you're not in reality. But you can know that reality is all there is, because when you argue with it, you experience anxiety and frustration and fear when you argue with reality. So any thought that creates stress, any thought that brings anxiety is what? An argument with reality. Somehow you're arguing with reality. You're going off. And I mean, listen, I've got a super, super active mind, so I've got a lot to deal with. So I've got to sit out there and listen to this. I've asked myself many, many times, I said, Nevins, what is your problem? And I would say, based on my genealogy, you know, I do have a mother that was never happy. And I've got to have some of that in me. There's sort of a natural tendency to bitch that I've dealt with for years, realizing it's not reality. And I'm doing much, much better with it than I ever used to, because it tormented me. And I didn't like living in that anxiety and frustration, you know, all the time.
No fun.
So now when I'm around my mom, I just feel sorry for her instead of getting in and fighting with her. I know she's suffering. And I try to calm her down. She goes off on one of her binges, and I've got to say this. God, share the story with you. But we got in a big fight with her at Thanksgiving because she's rewashing Solo cups over and over again so we can use them.
With people's names on them.
And I said, Mom, we're not in Haiti. Can I bring some cups, you know, so we can have fresh cups every time? And she got so upset about that we brought that up. Because, well, Caitlin laughed. She says, I love you, which is one of her granddaughters, you know. Says, I'm so thankful for Caitlin. She never complains. And I said, well, Mom, I said, I'm sorry, but I guess I draw the line when people use my toothbrush. And I sort of got the same affinity to Solo cups. I'd like to have my own fresh Solo cup when we come for Thanksgiving. She got so offended over that. So we got in a fight over Solo cups.
It's an old age thing.
And Cindy.
Well, I was trying to help my sister because she looked at me and says, Mike, do I have to wash these? I said, absolutely not. I said, Diane, grab them, put them in a bag and rush them out to the car so Mom doesn't see them. Because I was hoping to spare what was coming, right? But there were a few stragglers and Glenn reached over and threw them in the trash and she got all over them. You don't throw those in the trash! And I mean, when I was sitting having the meal, Caitlin or somebody's name was on my cup and I thought I stole somebody's cup. I thought I was drinking out of somebody's cup and it sort of grossed me out.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it's sort of like you go in and ask somebody if you can use your toothbrush, you know. No, thank you. So I told Mom, I says, Mom, I guess I got lemons, you know. So I guess she'll have to be upset at me. But she'll get over it.
Yeah. Well, we bring new ones to her.
Well, I guess she's been storing them.
She stores the new ones and uses the new ones.
She said she got them, you know, but she's not bringing them out for us. I said, well, you're going to bring them out for me. Anyway, I'm just saying that. It was just, it's funny.
Yeah.
But it's just showing how petty and foolish we can be over things, you know. And I have to, at least I recognize it, right, that there's tendencies there in my own life to move towards those things, and I have to say to myself, Nevin, shut the hell up. And I say other words too sometimes if I need to really push it, all right? Yes, I use the F word. Because he usually responds to that. You know, you say, well, you gotta use the F word on me, like, yeah. Just shut up, right? And I'm by myself. So I'll get, you know, sometimes if you get still long enough, you know, things get spin. I mean, I've laid my head down at night, and I'm going off thinking about things, and where in the world am I coming up with this stuff? Why am I going there? But if you're not your mind, it won't bother you.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the victory. If you recognize that, it won't bother you. So what causes all stress when we argue with reality? Somewhere we're arguing with reality. We're coming up with stories about what could happen in the future.
Yeah.
Things should be different than the way they are. I want this, or I need that, or he should do this, or she shouldn't have done this. Well, we were nailing my mom's ass because she shouldn't have brought out the old solo cup. Well, I guess I still have some boundaries I got to work on, you know. Next time I'll go looking for them when I go over there. Mom, you got any of them new solo cups? I want one of them. Right? That's what I should do, right? Probably that would make her crack up maybe that time. You know, Mom, you still got some of those hidden away somewhere? Break those babies out.
Especially the one with your name on it.
Right, you got one with my name on it somewhere. Well, it's so funny, I tell those stories, and everybody will remember the story and forget everything else I said. I remember that message, it should be called Solo Cup Reality.
Roy, Solo Cup Reality.
Things should be different than what they are. Or your mind is continuously saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Continuously. And it doesn't mean it's going to stop. But when you disconnect yourself from your mind, it doesn't hurt anymore.
Yeah.
When you realize you're not your mind and you're not your body, you start to get some relief. Now, I know it doesn't make sense. I say those things. It doesn't make sense to me. I wish there was something I wish I could dip all of us in this warm, beautiful liquid. You know, maybe we could have the hot tub of reality. We all dip in it and set in it and boom! You know, the light comes on.
It's coming on slowly. It's coming on.
It's on a dimmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets brighter all the time.
I like giving guarantees, and one thing I can guarantee you is this. it will always hurt when you argue with reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it does.
It will always hurt when you argue with reality. We could say it a different way, that we move totally away from reality when we believe that there's a legitimate reason to suffer. I struggle with this, guys. There's been a lot going on in this family. It's been very personal in the last few years, the last 3 years. And I'm not, it's not been easy. I'm not saying it's easy. And this has really helped bring me out of a state of depression and following and trusting my mind. And just recognizing that you can't trust it. And when we were together last time, I said every morning when we wake up, we have this affinity to believing we are our minds.
Yeah.
And it's a lie. Quit defending your mind. You're not your mind. And if somebody says something to you that offends you, it's your problem. I don't care what they say to you or how awful it sounds. All this sensitivity we have about ourselves and wanting to be loved and wanting to be liked and all those things, they're all nice, but it all changes overnight. Do you want to really be dragged around by the whims of everybody's opinions about stuff? We're so disconnected from reality that we suffer a lot, that we cry, that we are tormented. Not because of what people do, but because of what we believe. So it's our story about our perception of reality that creates suffering. It's our story, not anyone else's story. And I've had a lot of people, because of me being involved in sharing these things, I have people that love me and people that hate me. And guess what? I've really come to where it doesn't matter anymore. You know, I can't follow around everybody's mind and try to satisfy them. And even when this wonderful truth comes, I know that people are stuck in their mind when they're easily offended.
Yeah.
That they're still just stuck in their minds and they don't realize it. They think they've got all this wonderful truth and now there's somebody. But it's just the opposite that's true. When the absolute truth comes to you, you realize you're nobody. Mm-hmm. How can nobody be offended? Can't happen. So what are we attaching ourselves to? When you believe that suffering is legitimate, you become a champion of suffering. And then you become a perpetuator of suffering. When you fall into that hole, it's woe is me, and the world's going to hell. There's no hope. Well, there's absolutely never been any hope, ever, in the world. Why? Because hope's where? In the future. Hope for a better tomorrow that never comes. The only place you're going to be satisfied, the only place you're going to find peace is in this moment. Right now. They say, well, you don't understand my problems. Well, right now, in this second, right now, is there a problem? No. And when we move away from this moment where we're enjoying each other and loving each other, The only thing that changes that is our mind wanders off like a wild goat that won't come home. And say, stay out there, you son of a bitch. Don't come back, you know. Stay out there. We call him a jackass. That's how I deal with mine, because that's the way he acts sometimes. Just stay out there, you jackass. I know some people are offended because I said ass. It's okay, you get over it. They remember that, too. I had one of the gals that's been listening for years, she says, that was a pretty good message last night. You didn't cuss a lot. Shoot, I missed the boat. I should have turned that up a little more, you know, so I'm going to make up for it today. It's so fun to realize you have no control.
Yeah, it is.
It's such a relief to realize I have no control. I mean, I look at myself and say, man, you're crazy. You know, well, what's crazy is my mind. Mm-hmm. It isn't me. So I can beat up on it because it doesn't hurt me. It helps me. Helps me set myself free from my mind. Everyone, listen, every one of you struggle with this. Believing you're a body and a mind. And if you knew absolutely that you weren't, you would never be upset and you would never be offended. If you really knew this to the level we're talking about. When you're at this place, when you realize this, and you know that reality is always kind, then what do? When your mind starts going off, you say, what the hell? What are you trying to do to me? I don't believe you. And you don't take it personal. It's really sort of an open state of confession, not so much like we've been taught, but it's just you're constantly aware that, listen, I'm going, my mind's trying to drag me down this road that I just don't want to go. Well, who is this that doesn't want to go? Who you really are, this unconditional love that you are, start to put the brakes on. Say, wait a minute. We're not going there with you today. It's insanity to believe that suffering is caused by anything outside of the mind. Because a clear mind never, ever suffers. Well, we've got all these books of the Book of Martyrs and all these people that went through these terrible things, you know. And I think some of them knew that they couldn't suffer. That's why they were singing as they were going to be burned at the stake, because they knew nothing could harm them. But our picture of it, well, if you're really a saint, you got to be burned at the stake. That was a real saint. Somebody got burned at the stake and cried out in torment, you know, day and night. How twisted is that? Do you have a clear mind? Not so often. But when it's clear, it isn't suffering. When it's not agreeing with itself, it isn't suffering. That's what a clear mind is. It's a mind that's not agreeing with itself. Because all suffering comes from what? The mind. All suffering comes from not realizing that reality is always kind. So here's where time comes into the picture. when you're feeling sad, you must realize that your sadness is the effect of believing a prior thought. The mind very rarely settles down into a clear place. It's usually pulling up from its memory or projecting out into the future. And we need to understand this. That's how it operates. It's not necessarily good or bad. You just got to figure it out. And so you could settle down and realize that all the insanity that you see out there is caused by everyone's mind. You don't have to participate in it. Reach up and turn off your TV. Go to it. We were just down in Florida for a week, and I mean, I spent a lot of time on the beach and enjoying the sun. And guess what? My mind had very little clutter in it. Isn't that amazing? But it's the cares of this world that torment us. And then we've got to tell a story about it, whether it's right or wrong or not. And we're just publicizing and now trying to change something that's just our imagination being projected on the screen. So any sadness comes from what our mind projects based on our history, based on our memory. So we think there's a subjective world out there, but it's really projected out from our belief system, out from our mind. We're running this projector screen. How did you see this? And did you see that? And you know what's going on there. Woe is me, you know. And we're running our own, everybody's got their own projectors of the world. This is why Jesus would say over and over again, I'm going to leave my world. He didn't say, I'm going to leave your world. So I'm going to leave my world and return to my right mind, which is always clear and which is always kind. When it's in the right place. So there's your Geiger counter. Everybody get their kindness Geiger counter out, you know. Strap it to your ass and turn it up on high. And when some unkindness starts to come around, I finally got a new truck. I had my old pickup I've had 14 years. It finally broke down. My wife said I should go get a new truck. Thank you. Because I love that old pickup. It fits my ass perfectly.
Every 2 days, it's in the shop.
It's been getting where it's not very reliable. It's still sitting out there. I don't know if I can give it up. If I was an old farmer, I'd just put it out in the field and use it to, when I ran my combine, I'd use it to come back to the house. Something like that, you know. But I love that truck. It's got quadrasteer. You know, they don't make that anymore. It's where the ass end steers itself around, you know, so you can turn in tight places. It's really nice. That's all that's good about it, pretty much anymore. Well, guess what? It's got the safety feature, and whenever you get close to somebody or you get out of your lane or something unsafe's happening, it vibrates the hell out of my seat.
Ooh.
Well, that's what we need, is a kindness Geiger counter that vibrates the hell out of our ass and tells us when we're drifting away from reality. Huh? Well, here it is. If you're feeling unkindness to any degree or sadness to any degree, you're drifting away from reality. Hello? That's pretty simple. What makes it so complicated is we believe our own thoughts, and we believe we are our thoughts. We take it personal. If somebody doesn't say something just quite right, we're easily offended. Come on now.
Yeah.
I don't like it when somebody trash talks me, but I've learned to walk away from it. It doesn't really offend me anymore, but I can't say I'm not saying I'm going to throw myself into the trash talking bin, you know, and see how much I can put up with. But I mean, you know, if I were to try to believe everything everybody said to me, my head would be spinning off its top. This is great. Don't do that. I love you. You know, I mean, I had a new person sign up yesterday, you know, and was listening to the meetings for the first time, and she was just drooling over me. Like she wants to have my babies. At least that's what it sounded like. I said, wait, are you married? Yeah, I found she's married, so maybe not that far, but just going nuts, you know. Well, I'm sure I'll say something somewhere down the line that'll honk her off, you know, and then I won't be in good favor anymore. Because I'll hear about that too. But I really have come to realize it just doesn't matter because I know what's going on. I've experienced it myself, having to deal with that jackass of a mind that screwed onto me. Sorry, I like to abuse him. There's no objective world out there. It's all projected. You've been trying to live in your own story about the world. Your own story. Your own world. Well, what's it like in your world? If I were to interview you, you know, today, we started, I'd follow you around and you didn't know I was there and I could record everything you said and I could see everything, every thought you had and I wrote it all down. What would it look like? And how would you react to it? That's your world. And is it kind? What? And here's the question that Walter Lanyon said years ago. He didn't say go around and try to be kind. He just said, why be unkind?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a beautiful question.
Why do you want to be unkind? Ask yourself that. What's going on? So when time comes into the picture, when you're feeling sad, you must realize that your sadness is the effect of believing some prior thought. We don't even know that's what's happening. It all happens so automatic, we don't even understand it, that I'm believing my history. We didn't know that's how it worked, because it all gets mushed together. You know, and we believe time's passing away, so this is all just normal. Well, it's never normal for you to suffer to any degree. That's not normal. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That all suffering comes from the mind. It's not coming from anywhere else. Now that should bring a lot of relief to a lot of people. There should be mass hysteria going on of joy when this comes to you. Buster, he's always kind. Mm-hmm. He's never frustrated. He doesn't bring me the newspaper and say, look at this shit that's going on. You know, look at him. Huh? He's just a pure bundle of love. He's not worried about a thing. He's resting. He knows. He's well taken care of. Well, start taking care of yourself by not taking your mind personal. Quit defending it. Quit thinking it's you. If you're a very, very sensitive person, it's just because you're living out of your mind. Okay? You are an eternal light being. Way beyond. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. This next realm out there isn't a kinder version of this realm. It's not even close to that. And somehow that's that dream we've got projected that heaven is some place where you're just sitting on the beach and you've got the body of a model, you know, and you've got a Corona Light and you can drink as many as you want and not get drunk. Get a nice buzz, you know, but that's about it. Somebody said to me one time, the only good drink's the first one. We just can't seem to get enough. So when we start to live in this state of clarity and kindness, we've got a lot of energy to give to others. It's hard to really give when you're in a depressed state. Or an angry state. Or a frustrated state, you know. You're not really thinking about how can I help others. Usually we're bitching about others. We don't realize it's not fun for some reason. There's a lot of negativity going on. I'm not innocent of it. But as I shared last night, my visit with reality on my excursion onto a moving stairway really taught me quite a lesson. And it happened years ago, but it taught me the magnitude of my own judgment and how much I was trying to live there. That I wouldn't even extend courtesy to someone who wanted to pass me on a moving escalator because I thought it was illegal. Because in my world, it's illegal to pass someone on a moving stairway because there's not two lanes there. And I'm not going to tell the story again, but I mean, I realized that this not understanding righteous judgment was a huge deal. A big deal. And I had to be taught that. So the truth comes and boom, look out. Here comes the lessons, you know. And boy, I went through it. And really saw a pretty clear picture of what it is. And I'm a little embarrassed about it, but it was good. So when we have a negative concept about anyone, he's selfish, or she's arrogant, or he shouldn't do this, or he shouldn't do that, you're going to project it onto everyone. Yeah. If you're walking around in that mindset, and you might be doing it unknowingly, but you're putting out that kind of energy, and Walter Lanyon used to say all the time, whatever energy you send out is going to come back and hit you in the ass. Now, he didn't use the word hit you in the ass, I added that part on there. But that's what he meant by it. And it's been, he's got this book called The Joy Bringer that's just wonderful. And right out of the gate he says, you're a joy bringer. Well, it's a beautiful place to be, someone that's perpetuating joy and kindness all the time. It's safe. And he said at the end, why do you want to be unkind? Well, man, I'd ask my brain that many times. And LaVon sort of busted me last time when I said this, but I got this beautiful race car and I really can't drive it very much like a race car anymore. Because now I'm going around putzing around like the oldest man in the world, making way for everybody. Somebody wants to come in, I slow down and let him merge in, and I stop and wave at him and let him go in front of me, and I do all these kind things now when I'm out on the road. Now, my wife will tell you when I first met her, that's just the opposite of the way I drove. Right?
Yeah.
We'll call it Mustang on I-70 in Denver, Colorado. I remember the car very well. But he wasn't driving very courteously, so I attempted to drive him off the road.
Oh, my.
I wasn't successful because he was faster than me. But boy, I was trying. That something? Can you believe I would do that? Huh?
Yep.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Huh? Wow, it's amazing, isn't it? I'm sitting up here telling you to not be unkind, you know. But that's how you learn it.
Yeah.
I didn't know any better then. I was a stupid idiot. I wasn't getting up in the morning thinking about how can I be kind. I was thinking about how can I make my own way and how can I take advantage of everything. You know, wow, what a change. When we understand unconditional love, it's not possible to project that others don't love you.
Say that again.
When we understand unconditional love, it's not possible to project that others don't love you. They might not see it yet. When you know your nature is unconditional love. When we venture away from that and we start to feel a sense that's unkind, we're not in reality. Yeah. We're drifting away from reality. What did we say at the very beginning? Well, that was yesterday. Reality's always kind. Now, it's kind to yourself in the reality of it, but it extends kindness because that's what it's feeling. If you're not extending kindness, really, deep within you, you're not experiencing kindness. It's hypocritical. Unconditional love doesn't have any conditions. It's something that's difficult to understand because all we know is a conditional compassion. I wouldn't insult it and call it love. The nature of reality is the fullness of unconditional love towards everyone. Why? Because there's no conditions. Hello? If you know unconditional love, then you know there aren't any conditions. Zero conditions. Somebody doesn't have to meet your perspective of what love is. They shouldn't have to perform up to it or behave that way. We haven't behaved that way. Why should we expect others to? But when you begin to get into this groove and you see the picture of your own hypocrisy, you'll start to extend that kindness towards others because you love that feeling. Everybody's looking for that feeling of kindness and unconditional love, but we don't know what it means. So the nature of reality is the fullness of unconditional love towards everyone. Liberation is simply seeing that there's no person out there that needs love. It's saying you are this love. It isn't saying there's some person that needs it. It's saying you are the love. How can you not be what you are? You can only not be what you are when there's not kindness involved. That's when you venture away from your real identity. And it's not a kindness that expects anything in return. No one projects their world the same as you. Well, guess what? That means there's a billion opportunities for conflict. A billion. Maybe more like 3 billion. At some point, you're going to be around somebody and you're going to say something that could offend them. But if you're if you're bonded in unconditional love, it won't matter. Okay? If that's where the bond is, it doesn't matter whether we agree, whether our minds agree all the time. It just doesn't matter. We just got to blow things off. You know? I mean, I love my mom. I've got to do a lot of blowing the things off when I'm around her. You know, but it doesn't change my love for her. And I know she appreciates it, and I know she feels it. I mean, because when snot hits the fan, I'm one of the first people she calls. Because she knows I love her. And of course, I'm her son, she loves me. She just wants me to drink out of used Solo cups, you know? Except I'm just still, you gotta work on that one, okay? You guys have to help me.
It's an age thing.
So, the nature of reality. So all this stuff that comes to you guys, you're going to walk out into the world tomorrow and all this stuff's going to come to you. All the stuff. Life's going to be happening. Tons of stuff. It's like a tidal wave sometimes, right? What is it? Liberation is simply seeing that everything that arises comes from the nature of unconditional love. Everything that comes to you, no matter in what form it is, if you set aside your judgment of it, it's always going to be kind. It's always going to be unconditional love. Whatever's coming to you, that's what spontaneous life is. It's when life is flowing without you trying to control it. So, when stuff comes to us and there begins to be a problem and our judgment kicks in, what's the problem? It's our story about what's coming to us that creates the problem. Somehow we're moving away from reality. If something starts to feel unkind or you're frustrated or you want to start bitching about whatever it is, we're moving away from reality. And so the vibrator comes on in the seats and Mike, you're moving away from reality. Stop, hit the brakes. Don't bash into that car. My truck's got the stay in lane feature, right? Well, if I don't turn on my blinker, it won't let me change lanes. I sort of like it because I drift a little bit more than I used to.
You're a drifter.
A drifter. I really like that feature. They really got it down. It helps keep me in the lane. So think about your seat vibrating. Is your little meter. Right? If something feels unkind, the seat's going off. The meter's going off. I think it's safe to know that your mind doesn't really understand unconditional love. And it's never really going to, because it's always got some kind of a concept that's conditional. It's going to weave in some kind of condition to some level. And you might have somebody you've had a great relationship with. You know, I had a good friend of mine, I was friends for, 26 years. We were good buddies. And all of a sudden, there was this huge change in him. And it was like I didn't know him anymore, you know. And I brought it up. I said, well, Dan, I said, I don't know if I know who you are anymore. I said, the last time we got together, it wasn't really that enjoyable, you know, because he was just, the guy is chiseled. I mean, he's like, you think of the best looking model out there, this guy looked as good as that, right? And I just don't think the world was big enough for him, you know? And I told him, I said, well, Dan, I said, last time you come to see me, I said, it really wasn't that enjoyable. And you know what? I never heard from him again. Mm-hmm. Ever.
Oh, my.
And I tried to reach out to him a few times, do whatever I could to try to restore the relationship, you know, and it never worked. Well, I guess we really didn't have a good friendship, did we?
Yeah.
And I remember going through all those years, he was going through a lot of difficulty. It was mostly pretty one-sided. You know, he was usually upset, and I'd listen and listen and listen to him and try to help him, and he never usually asked me how I was doing. And it was okay. You know, I've never been a real needy person, you know. But I sort of slipped on a banana peel, apparently, and poof, he was gone. Still haven't heard from him.
That's sad.
I thought, well, if it was broken that easy, there wasn't anything there to begin with.
That's right.
Which,
that's a good thing to
anyway. Not complaining, you know, whatever that was disappeared, because I guess there wasn't much there. I mean, I thought there was. I certainly love the guy. I'd love to see the guy and be with the guy, you know. We weren't too far from where they live, you know. But anyway, so unconditional love can only be seen when the person, and therefore the mind, is not there. What do you mean? Have you ever been to a place where nothing's happening? You ever experienced that?
No.
Where there's just silence? Huh? Not a lot of that going on, folks.
Right.
I mean, I'm not somebody that promotes meditation, but if meditation or there's something you can do that can bring silence, it's a good thing, because what's there is this unconditional love just waiting to pounce on somebody, just waiting to extend itself. It's, that place has all the energy in the world. Because what? Not sitting around pouting about ourselves. We're not sitting around needy. We just want to help each other. We want to, this whole reason for all these meetings and everything we do is just to help people be set free from themselves. Because I want to be set free from myself. It's not enjoyable to live in a place where it's not kind, where there's no peace, and where there's no lasting joy. It's just not fun. And that's been my whole quest ever since I walked away from the church, you know, 35 years ago and said, I don't know what the hell this is, but it ain't working. I didn't really have any answers, but I just knew it wasn't working.
That's the reason why I walked away.
So, unconditional love can only be seen when the person and the mind disappear. If the mind comes back to argue, you've got to realize it will always win. Let it win. Oneness has no arguments against the mind. Just let it go on its way. Let it have its way. And it'll run out of steam. Doesn't mean you've got to voice it. Doesn't mean you've got to get your loudspeaker out. Say, listen, everybody out there, you're all a bunch of assholes. Just letting you know ahead of time before I get there. You know, prepare yourself the way. Here comes my mind to get you. I mean, listen, that you. Okay, I'm going to quit saying people get offended by it. But I'm telling you what, you go out in this world, you people won't even look at you.
Yeah.
I try to be friendly and. What? Diane's really good. I mean, people look like they're honked off and they don't even know who you are.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You say that. You,
guess what? They're suffering, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all suffering.
Yeah.
And instead of complaining about them and bitching about it, what you can do is bring joy into someone's life. That's the only thing that has any value. And so what we said last night is, what you're doing bringing joy? Is it spreading joy? Is it spreading peace? It's not a demand, but when you're spreading that and sending out that message, you're feeling it yourself. It's a wonderful feeling. That's why I love giving some joy to my lovely wife. It feels good. It's warm, it's cuddly. You know, she loves to sit on the couch at night and snuggle and watch these boring Hallmark movies.
Aw, I do too.
Well, I mean, I could go in and do a little better job because they're all the same. They're all the same.
Yeah.
And then I make sure I don't catch her when I got a tear in my eye. You know, I think I like it. You know.
Yeah.
What was that? No, nothing.
You just feel good.
Yeah.
They announced they got some new ones. Well, thank God for that.
Well, they're the same storyline, though.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Cute retired woman comes home and meets the boyfriend she had in high school that she hadn't seen in 30 years. They get married.
And then there's a dog in it.
There's a dog. And a pickup truck.
Yeah.
A whole red pickup truck.
Yeah, but don't they make you feel good and fuzzy?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
I just don't tell anybody.
Well, you just did. The whole world. We know, Mike.
So don't try to argue with your mind. When you realize you're not your mind, you're set free from it.
Yeah.
When you start to see the difference. Now, many of you are just experiencing that for the first time. If you're honest.
Yeah.
Because all the sensitivity going on about what people say and how they say it, you know, is all coming from the mind. That's why there's no rules. That's why I don't have a cuss tamer in me. You know, I don't try to cuss. It just, what happens? Just seems appropriate at times, you know.
You have a rule about solo cups.
I do. That's exactly right. I've still got to work on that, right? I'm still drawing the line there. And my toothbrush.
Yeah.
My toothbrush. You've got to work on those, okay? Maybe you come up with some idea for me. You come up with a purifying toothbrush. Maybe we can come up with a solo cup that has that paper that comes out, like on the Japanese toilets, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
Something like that. Of course, it costs more than 1,000 solo cups to have that one.
It's an age.
Well, guess what? We got in a fight over it, too. Over the solo cup.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. It set the stage for the whole meal.
Well, it was over.
The meal was over, yeah. That was my point in telling you. I failed miserably. The solo cup test.
It's an age thing, Mike.
I got it. Thank you, Liz. I got that down. I taught What is Reality back in 2016, and there was a message called Paradise Lost, and I said this, that reality is no respecter of persons. It does not care what you think you are or what you like or don't like about your concept of life for the world. Reality has nothing to do with the mind's subjective feelings or judgments about anything objective. So we've got to live. When we live within ourselves and finding this place of peace and kindness, we begin to project that. Yeah. So when this is the part that's sort of painful, because in order for you to experience this, you really have to experience unconditional love and open yourself up to it, because it will kill who you think you are. It will have no other, and it will kill anything in its way, because unconditional love leaves nothing but itself. And that's this oneness, that's where we're all connected. That's all there is, really. when I shared with you last night from that book from Ruffelli, they could see it. Einstein saw it in his microscope that there was no such thing as space. There's just a change in densities. Everything's connected. There is no such thing as open space. That's something? Mm-hmm. If you can see it, it ain't space.
That's right.
Because there's particles in everything. It's just a difference in density. The only difference between us and a rock is the rock's moving slower.
Cool.
But it's alive. Can you believe that? That a rock is, that rocks are alive and that they're moving? It's crazy, isn't it? It's moving awful slow. Much slower than a turtle.
Not if you throw it.
You throw rocks?
I said not if you throw it.
Oh, is that what you do? You throw them?
Yeah, not if you throw a rock.
Yeah.
And then it ripples in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Something more that's really unusual. When you find out that there are no choices, there will be no fear.
Oh, that's good.
That is good.
Just acceptance.
So the only thing that was ever born that creates frustration in your life is a dream. And it's the only thing that can die. And when we begin to live outside the dream of our world, we'll begin to start to have peace.
Yeah.
And our mission will be to share joy with each other. You know, and I'll challenge you all to come up with a plan for me to be delivered from solo cup hell. You know, if something comes to you, please call me, okay? Might do this next time. Okay, I'm sure my mother would appreciate it.
Just take your own dang solo cups. There you have that we sell.
I could slip one in, couldn't I? Come up with a portable one that folds out. You know, I can keep it in my billfold. My dog has one.
Okay.
He has one that's slinky, you know. It's a little thing and it pops up.
Take a whole package and put your name on all of it.
Oh, there you go. Right. There you go. You're working for me. Thank you. All right.
I have to. So many. Bottom line is we don't want to wash them. So we take more.
What does it mean when you say nothing ever dies but a dream? Wow. That's a huge statement. Nothing ever dies but a dream. What I said to everybody last night, if you can know, when you get to the end and you're ready to leave this realm and you found out there's nothing to fear, how would you live today?
With joy.
I guess on the motorcycle all the time.
Huh? I'm telling you, I've witnessed it. I've seen it. I've experienced it happening in front of me. I was with my best friend, Liz Carl. It was her best friend, too. I watched it. Death never showed up, guys. Never saw it. She had called out for me the next day when she had passed, and they called me up and said, Mike, Liz is asking for you, and I couldn't stand being in the room because all the family was there and they were all grieving and going places I didn't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because I just didn't believe in any of that stuff anymore. So I couldn't be in the room. So I wasn't in the room anymore once the family showed up. I had spent the evening with her and, you know, we went through a lot of wonderful things together. We were both at peace. We actually were at such peace that we fell asleep. I was sitting in the chair next to her bed and we both fell asleep. That's how much peace we were in. Well, I remember they said, well, where's Mike? Where's Mike? You know, and they all left the room so I could be with her because they knew she wanted to be with me. And I went in and she had drifted off sort of in the semi-coma state. And finally, I yelled at her. I said, "Liz." And she woke up and looked at me. She instantly closed her eyes. I knew she was gone. And she had no interest in coming back and chatting with me anymore. No sorrow, no fear, none of that ever appeared. None of that ever showed up. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
No choices were being made, so there was no fear. When you become a lover of what is, I know that sounds so simple, but when you become a lover of what is, the war is over. Since I don't believe my thoughts anymore, I have no hopes, fears, or expectations. Have you ever tried living in spontaneous life? Because it's a life without a future. Have you ever felt it? I experience it most of the time. These lessons are formed and come from a place that has nothing to do with my mind. Or I wouldn't stand up here for a second. We don't need any more BS being broadcast on the airwaves. There's enough of that going on. And I'm not going to be a contributor to it in any way. I have no cause. I have no reason to do any of this. It just started happening. And that makes it fun. Because I have no control over it at all. And that's what you're hearing. My unconditional love for you is to want to see all of you be free and live in a state of continual bliss. Because that's your nature. That's your real nature. And I just help you find yourself, help you find your true self that's always kind. Reality is always kind. It's never unkind. And you might slip on a solo cup. It's okay. You know, you just get back up. You know, Sarah's already delivered me from it. I've got to go around and plant what looks like used solo cups throughout the house with my name on them. But they'll be clean. And then it won't bother me, you know. Mom will think they've been washed. Said, "Mom, I brought some a lot of these washed solo cups with me today to distribute out amongst the family. You know, I should do it because she'll get a kick out of it now, won't she?"
Yeah, she will.
Then we'll be giggling about it. Right? Let's do that at Christmas. I'll write everybody's name on it.
You know? Yeah, there
I'll
you go.
I'll put used. 11, 10, 18. You know, make sure I put a use date on it, you know. Expired. Put an expiry date.
You're gonna make sparks.
Then let us know how that worked.
That is not gonna work, Michael.
Oh, it would with her.
Yeah.
She could be a jokester.
Good.
Do you want a blanket? Want a blanket? No.
What would it be like to live as a person without a future? There'd be no fear. That's what it would be. There'd be absolutely no fear. So what's happening if there's fear? We're trying to live in the future. It's that simple. There's no life there. So I've learned to live in an openness where everything begins to come to me. And I learned this in one of the biggest ways with my business, because, and I'm not saying it was easy at all, but I lost total control of a business that we spent over 20 years building 3 years ago. We got into some pretty serious financial difficulties to the point where the bank came in and took control of the business and was expecting to shut it down. And about a month later, we got a purchase order from Menard Stores that was bigger than 5 years of business that we'd ever done all of a sudden at once. Talk about it at the last minute. I mean, we're all sitting around, you know, what would the next steps we were going to take, if we were going to do more layoffs or what, which I just never liked, believed in laying people off. I just hardly have ever done it. The bank came back to me and saw what transpired all on its own, and they begged us to get our business back, and they said they'd never seen anyone come out of it. When they started that process, it was always a shutdown. It was always a liquidation. And they call it going into forbearance. Well, I know what that means. But it was very, very hard on me to find out I have no say. And I mean literally, I had no say. A controller came in that took over the finances and looked at all the programs in the business, and they would only work with my staff. They wouldn't work with me anymore. Because most of the business owners were dishonest, and they'd start finding out that when they felt this was start coming, they would start hiding things and being deceptive, and they got in there and didn't find that there was none of that going on. And they were pretty surprised, you know. And I'm not saying I'm somebody that's good, I've just learned that honesty is who I am.
Yeah.
It's not something I try to be. I mean, if you're dishonest, you know it.
Sure.
I don't know who you think you're fooling.
Yeah.
And I just realized, you know, that there's just no life there. You know, what reason would I want to do that? You know, if this thing can't stand on its own, it needs to go down. I can't be a crook, you know, and keep it going. And I've never really been, you know, limp that way in business. My whole joy has been to help my customers anyways. The whole business started from that. I never ever dreamed we'd ever make money at it, ever. Never thought it would ever happen. It just started as a fluke because she barked one day, and I even fought it. I even said I didn't want to do it because I didn't want to go back into business again. I was in the building business 30 years, and it was tough being in the building business. I said, no, I don't want to be in business no more. And this opportunity came up, and she looked at me and said, why not? Let's just try it. So she, you know, I said, okay, well, we tried it, and now we've got, they're up there working today. I got 35 people up there building light fixtures today because we're so far behind.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what it's delivered me from the burden of having a business now.
Yeah.
It's no longer a burden anymore. Because I didn't go back up and pick up the mallet, folks. Okay? They took it from me, and guess what? I retired. I said, nope, I'm just going to leave it. I tell them guys every day, I said, if you don't want to do this, let's just shut it down. Everybody knows that, that they're doing this for themselves. And we don't go in there and strip the company for money. I still get my paycheck. But it's pretty stress-free. Why? Because it's out of sight, it's out of mind. Well, it needs to be that way with everything you're struggling with. If it's creating some kind of anxiety or frustration in your life, it's not reality. Bingo, I've given you quite a key. And I hope you remember these things when you go out of here and go out this next week so you can run around with a skip in your step and a brand new solo cup. Use a black felt marker. Get green ones. I'm getting bored with the red ones. Need some green ones, Christmassy ones.
Put that in your stocking.
So remember, when you have a stressful thought, you've moved out of reality. Wake up. If you have a stressful thought, you're moving out of reality. Hello? Right?
Yep.
You're starting to move away from reality. Reality can't be found because reality is all there is. It's perfect, omnipresent, unconditional love with no prejudice. And this was on, I stole this from somebody. It doesn't say who the author is. But we've all heard a lot of the sages talk about we are the ocean. You know, a drop of water is the ocean. But when it goes into the ocean, it disappears. See, well, that's losing your identity. That's what love swallows up, your identity, your opinions, your projections of the world. But here it said, the ocean doesn't prefer one wave over the other.
The ocean does not prefer one wave over the other. Yeah, it was neat to see waves this week.
Unconditional love has no prejudice. It doesn't see another one as less or greater. So, as we move into liberation, it's realizing that nothing needs to happen and nothing needs to change. There's nothing to find. And someday you will see it, whether in this realm or the next. When you're no longer looking and expecting anything, you're at peace. It's a place of complete, utter trust. It's a place of nakedness, of openness, where we're not trying to project anything, not trying to control anything. It's a wonderful place. And there's times you're going to slip on a banana peel, but right away, reality kicks in. Oh, wait a minute, I'm drifting away from reality here. I mean, if you went to, you're acting like an ass, you went quite away from a stressful thought, right? You've slipped away. If you can catch yourself at the stressful thought, you might catch yourself way before you act like an ass. Okay? So start there. So I love driving now. Really, I really do. I'm running around in the 700 horsepower race car that I can't really use to its full potential anymore. Because I've got to behave now. So occasionally I'll run out here on this open road out here where there's just a couple of farms and get into it a little bit just to blow the cobwebs out of the engine a little bit, you know, and make it feel like I've got a race car. But all the rest of the time I've got to putz around like I'm on my motorcycle, you know. But I still keep it. It's sort of fun. LaVon wants to buy it from me. So we're getting ready to close down here. We're surrounded by unconditional life and love, and that's all there is. But nobody's doing it. It cannot, it's just like you can't be taught to breathe. You can't be taught to see. That's the same thing that life is. You can't be taught how to live. It's just doing it on its own. But we don't trust it. We want to control. Because we live in fear. Anytime we're trying to control, it's coming from a sense of fear.
Yeah.
And we might not have come to that realization yet, but that's where it comes from. All there is love, and you can't do anything about it. So just rest. Just enjoy yourself. We're swimming in it all the time. But unaware of the boundless freedom that's all around us. When we are no more, what is found is the perfect lover who never leaves and never judges. So thank you, everybody, out there in Ustream land. I don't know who's tuned in, but let us know if you're watching. I'd like to hear from Gary and Barbara and Christina and some new people. It's always nice when some new people pop up, and I'll hear from somebody I've never known before all of a sudden. I've been listening for years. I just wanted you to say how much it's helped me. Well, that's all I want to do is help you. Okay? That's all I want to do is help us. Live in this place. where there's always kindness all the time. And it's, kindness isn't something you do, it's a feeling. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
It isn't, I gotta go out and be kind today. It's always say to yourself, why are you kind? So you're going out prepared. And that's why I'm a transformed driver now. Because when I leave the drive, I'm prepared to be courteous, to give way.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, well, it's okay. We'll strap a camera to you, and we'll report in, you know. You can say we're watching you now, okay? This is God. Now, how about these new things you get from the insurance companies, you know, where they're going to strap to your car and base your premium on how you drive?
Oh.
You seen that? Yeah, they've got them out now. But anyways, thank you, everybody. We'll see you this afternoon at 2 p.m. Goodbye.